This is the Platt Spotlight Podcast for April 20th, 2011. I'm Peter Maloney, chief editor of Platt's Global Power Report, and I am speaking with Bart Chilton, commissioner of the Commodities Future Trading Corporation. Bart, last week you gave a speech called Wise and Otherwise in Las Vegas, in which you talked about algo traders and massive passive traders and other large competitors and large competitive-driven trading, computer programs and trading. And you compared them to cheetahs for their speed and flexibility. You argued that there needs to be controls on these entities or limits set to, in case they go feral. Do you think that energy end users can sometimes fall into that category of cheetahs and therefore need the kind of oversight that the CFTC is looking at right now?
Not so much, Peter. The cheetahs, these high-frequency traders, are primarily folks who aren't end users. A matter of fact, in the energy markets, we have, particularly in crude, we have less of these cheetah traders than in other markets. So it's primarily the cheetahs are these traders that are really not end users whatsoever. They're primarily speculating in markets, and they are so fast that they're trying to scoop up micro dollars in nanoseconds and really just make a little bit of money on all of their trades. But sometimes they can be very large, Peter. So it's a question for me of whether or not these cheetahs really add to the fundamental purposes of futures markets, which are, one, to provide a legitimate risk management tool for commercial users, for hedgers, and two, to ensure adequate price discovery, which will help consumers and businesses alike.
So the cheetahs would be speculators, but you don't think they're necessarily the oil companies speculating in there?
No, I don't. And now in the future, these markets have morphed, and that's what I spoke about in Vegas, that you could have, for example, large end users that might want to use a cheetah trader, a high-frequency trader, to do some of their business. But right now, they're really speculators unto themselves. And don't get me wrong, speculators are good. If we don't have speculators in these markets, we don't have markets at all. My question is whether or not the quickness of the markets now, with the cheetahs in and out of them, as I say, scooping up micro dollars in nanoseconds, whether or not that helps the fundamental purpose of the markets, and whether or not we should have some different rules or regulations for them. And I think we should. It's developing what the appropriate means to do that is to make sure that we get it done in the right way.
Where is the CFTC right now on defining end users and putting forward the most important things to end users and margins and position limits?
We're working on it right now. We should have something done very soon, at least out as a proposal. And we're going to be taking comment through the next several months, both on margin and on capital. And so we actually have our proposal on margins out now, and people can go to cftc.gov and comment. I anticipate that very soon we will have our capital proposal out, and hopefully those will dovetail and conclude at the same time. I can't tell you exactly when it will be, but at least several months. And so there should be plenty of time, adequate time, for people to comment. We know these are important rules, and we want to get the feedback to ensure that we're getting it right.
Are the capital proposals the same as the position limits?
I can't really tell you what they are, Peter, just because the proposal hasn't been voted on. I had a briefing on it earlier today, but I think it's a worthy proposal, and I'm looking forward to getting feedback from people. I feel fairly comfortable with it at this point from what I know of it.
So it sounds like it's a minimum capital requirement type of measure.
Yeah, well, people will see soon, and I hope they'll comment on it.
You know, one of the things we wonder about here is that the end users seem to be being treated separately from speculators. But on the other hand, the banks are still fall under the jurisdiction of the margin proposals. And in a lot of cases, an electricity company, for instance, might have a swap partner who is a bank. So that sort of brings the electric company into the fold. Is there any resolution to that problem?
Well, we'll have to look and see where we end up on end users in general. As you say, the definition on end users will be key, and that's different from the margin and the capital rule. We'll have an actual definition. But what I've said, Peter, is that end users are folks that have a business interest in the underlying physical commodity, whether or not that's, you know, natural gas or crude oil or what have you. And that while banks, for example, or other investors may have a financial business interest, if they don't have an underlying business interest in the physical commodity, I don't think they should be treated as end users. You could play that scenario out a long way, and it gets, quite frankly, fairly ridiculous after a period of time. So, you know, it's sort of like they said in the Supreme Court, you know, on pornography, you know it when you see it. If somebody has a legitimate business interest in the underlying physical commodity, to me, they're an end user. But it pretty much stops pretty closely after that.
And what about position limits? What's your time frame on coming out with some position limits?
Well, I've been pushing for us to come out sooner rather than later. Congress gave us a deadline of implementing them in January of this year, 2011, and we've yet to do it. We put out a proposal. The comment period on that proposal ended on March 28th. I'll give you a brief summary of what it was, which is essentially a cap of 10% of open interest. In larger contracts, contracts above 25,000, there's a multiplier of 2.5% of open interest that an individual trader could hold. Now, again, you would get the hedgers, they would get an exemption, but those that don't have an underlying interest in the physical commodity, they would be limited to either 10% of open interest, or in the larger, the more liquid contracts, 10% plus 2.5%. of all contracts thereafter. I'm hopeful we will put something out in the next several months on that. We are now beginning to see some impact on prices that I think are attributable to speculators. In fact, analysis from Goldman Sachs and some others suggests that every time folks fill up their gas tanks, they're paying a speculative premium of several dollars. That's not right. That we know there are concerns with supply in the Middle East and North Africa. We are still dealing with a reduction from Japan, and we have some transportation issues in Cushing, Oklahoma. But all of those are known quantities, and I think prices are being moved in part because of the large speculative interest. We have speculators pouring into energy markets at a blistering pace, up 64% since 2008, when, as you know, oil touched $147.27 a barrel. So these position limits, I think, will help ensure that there's not this speculative premium that consumers and businesses alike are paying, and that prices will be based more upon normal supply. And
So there's a speculator premium in some of these prices, you're saying?
I believe it's there's several dollars on a tank of gas. So people may be paying a premium without buying premium gas. They may be just giving that to Wall Street.
And do you think position limits would help that?
And we'll still have some volatility in markets. That occurs. This isn't going to change things wholesale. And by the way, we're not price setters. We're a regulator. Our job is to make sure the markets are free and fair and devoid of fraud, abuse, and manipulation. But when we see large concentrations of speculative positions, and they all seem to be moving in one direction, and that's the long direction, you have to ask, is that appropriate for markets? And I think there's enough evidence out there now. Even the CEO of Gulf Oil, just in the last several days, acknowledged that he thought speculators were having an impact in gas and oil markets. So it's becoming more and more apparent that there's some impact there. I don't think they're the cruise control. I don't think speculators are the cruise control on oil and gas prices. But I do think they pump the gas pedal when they get into markets in such large concentrations.
Are you looking at other commodities with the same issues in mind besides gasoline?
Absolutely. Now, we have limits in the agriculture commodities. Those were mandated by Congress years ago, but we don't have the limits in any of the energy contracts or in the metals contracts. And I particularly think we need them in metals also. Some would argue that we need them not for the issue that we see in energy, which is traders that are traditionally going long, these folks that you referred to earlier that I call massive passives. But in the metals markets, there is concern about excessive speculative concentration on the short side driving prices down. So I'm not saying that there is or isn't, but it's a concern out there. And I think legitimate position limits make sense in all of these markets. We just have to get the right balance, make sure that we're not decreasing liquidity in an inordinate fashion that also could negatively impact markets. So it's a fine line, Peter, but I think we'll get it right.
Well, I think that's something the industry would love to participate in. When again is the comment period closed?
Well, the comment period is already closed on position limits, but all of these other rules are coming out on margin and capital, on the definitions, on end users will be coming out, and we'll be looking forward to getting comments on that. And again, people can go to cftc.gov, and they can go right there and comment. And I look at all of them, and I'm sure my colleagues look at lots of them, too. It's very helpful, and that's what this rule writing process is all about. You know, some of these markets, Peter, the swaps markets, we don't really have a lot of experience with. So in everything we do, we want to get it right. We want to make sure we don't mess up something that may be working fine. There's a need for regulatory reform, but we certainly don't want to, you know, overstep and be super zealous regulators. We just want to get the right balance here.
Yeah, I think that's one of the next things on your agenda is defining what a swap is, too.
Absolutely, yeah. All these things are coming up, and they're all important.